You're listening to a podcast from the Today programme on BBC Radio 4. There's going to be an all-day reading of a book today in the centre of London, not just any book. 1984 is going to be read by actors and by others as well, all of it taking place on the steps of the Senate House of the University of London, which is that imposing building that George Orwell used as the model for the Ministry of Truth. Richard Blair is George Orwell's son, and is in our radio car, and so is Archie Blair, who is George Orwell's great-grandson. Morning to you both.
Good morning.
And I think we're going to start with a reading, aren't we? Which, Richard, will you lead us off and then Archie chip in?
Yes, I will indeed. I would just like to say very quickly that this is being streamed all over the world through the Orwell Foundation. It was a bright, cold day in April and the clocks were striking 13. Winston Smith, his chin nuzzled into his breast in an effort to escape the vile wind, slipped quickly through the glass doors of Victory Mansions, though not quickly enough to prevent a swirl of gritty dust from entering along with him.
The hallway smelled of boiled cabbage and old rag mats. At one end of it, a coloured poster, too large for indoor display, had been tacked to the wall. It depicted simply an enormous face, more than a metre wide, a face of a man about 45 with a heavy black moustache and ruggedly handsome features.
First obvious question to both of you, I suppose, before we get into why it's being read, is when you read it yourselves and when you think of this great person that you're both related to, perhaps Archie, first of all, what does George Orwell mean to you?
I've only come of the age now, like, to really understand what this means. So it's a really big thing, and I've only just started reading Animal Farm, and then now 1984. So it's a big thing for me, and this is the first big event for me for this.
It must be extraordinary to be the relative of someone who is such a huge, huge figure in sort of the history of literature.
Yeah, I'm hearing stories of my grandpa about how he wrote these books and how big the thing is, and I'm starting to grasp the fact that how big it is, and how all the books are used in schools, and how we've got the reading today with all the which is being streamed, and it's being loads of people are coming in, loads of famous people. So it's a big thing.
Richard, tell us more about what's happening today.
Right. This is actually a collaboration between University College London and the Orwell Foundation. The Orwell Foundation being an amalgam of the Orwell Awards and the Orwell Youth Prize. And it comes underneath the umbrella of the Orwell Foundation. We're doing this as a sort of a celebration, as I said, between University College London and ourselves, the foundation. And we thought we would mark it with some special event. And it struck a lot of people. Why don't we do a reading of 1984 right through from chapter one, right through from cover to cover? This has not been done before in this country. I believe it's been done elsewhere, but not here. And it seemed that the Senate House was obviously the appropriate venue for it, because obviously that the Senate House was, in 1984, the Ministry of Truth.
And its relevance as a book to us today, I mean, we all naturally think of, I don't know, fake news and of repressive governments and all the rest of it. Its particular relevance today?
Well, I think the thing about 1984, of course, when it was written, has been relevant since the day it was written. What is happening, of course, is every now and again, world affairs seem to clash with it. And everyone stands back and says, oh, my goodness, this is how Orwellian is this? This is fake news. This is totalitarianism writ large, as it were. And so every now and again, people just say, oh, we must go and read Orwell because it's hit the Amazon bestseller list. And everyone just seems to think, you know, Orwell was absolutely correct in his prognosis of world affairs and the way the world is going.
You mentioned the Amazon bestseller list. It is staggering, isn't it, that it keeps having resurgences?
It does, and I I would suggest it probably will continue to do so for decades to come. I don't mean necessarily on the Amazon. I'm talking about generally throughout the world that 1984 and indeed Animal Farm will be read by people for who knows how long, decades and decades and decades.
Mm. And we think of governments and 1984 is in a sense about the government, the suppression of people and their spirit as well as their sort of political ability to exist. But it's interesting, isn't it? We understand now with tech companies and our relationships with them as individuals and indeed our relationships with each other, because fake news, of course, doesn't always come from governments, can come from individuals. It's a much wider picture now, isn't it?
Yes, it is. I mean, at the beginning, of course, we always thought of governments trying to control the population. But it's as you say, it's more than that now, because we've got these large corporations who have various devious ways of understanding what our needs and wants are. And they are trying their best to impose their way of life, their thoughts on the world population. And we don't realize it, but we are actually being slowly drawn into this situation. And I think we really must stand back now and again and say, what's going on? Let's just look behind, as my father said, look behind the words that are being used, because we're being just drawn into their great maw of their what they want to try and in certain cases, of course, what they want to sell us. Mm. But with governments, of course, it's what they want to do to try and control us.
Hello, I'm Luke Jones.
I'm Eddie Mayer. We thought we'd give you a flavour of what you can find over on the IPM podcast.
As a parent myself, any parent knows that in a way you will give up your life. You will give up your hopes and aspirations, but you will not give up those for your children.
Being sort of a very romantic type, I think that the age difference helped in that, from my point of view.
She was, by this time in the afternoon, pouring with sweat, just desperate. And that's how we ended up in the middle of a local town, with me handing over my hard-earned money to buy drugs.
So he ran away to school in Darjeeling, and then when war broke out, he joined when he reached 18.
What about it was false?
All of it.
The sounds from a working flat were coming up from below. As she pointed out, she said, it does rather stop the conversation.
Those are all IPM listeners. All our stories start with listeners who get in touch.
Search for IPM wherever you get your podcasts from and subscribe for free so you never miss an episode.